Right.
Apologize for everybody for being late. I guess it's the old Friday the 15th. Jinx. I told Lil that I just plain forgot it was Friday. I've got two things here that are some interest. The first was an executive order yesterday, wasn't a proclamation, which subjects the following additional materials to license requirements for export from the U.S. Equipment used for the production of aviation motor fuel and tetraethyl lead, or any plans or specifications useful in the design, construction, or operation of such equipment, or in connection with such processes. Plans, specifications, descriptive, or technical information of any kind setting forth the design or construction of aircraft or aircraft engines. And these items are in addition to the product themselves, and Steve's got a copy of it for you. In other words, that's merely an attempt to tighten up on the processing of certain gasoline, keep it from going out except under a license. The other item is a message that's going up in 50 minutes, which is not for release until it's delivered either to the House or the Senate. And I can tell you about it now. I got a copy of it. Steve will have plenty of copies for you. It's for the information of the Congress, that the National Defense Advisory Commission on September 6th unanimously agreed to and adopted general principles governing the letting of national defense contracts. On August 31st, the Commission also unanimously adopted the Statement of Labor Requirements as a guide for contractors who have received national defense orders from the government. I consider these two documents to be of such importance to justify sending them to the members of the Senate and the House as a matter of information. The values of these policies and principles of government, industry, agriculture, labor, and the country, sectionally and as a whole, will be seen at once. And then goes on, describes the general principles governing the letting of defense contracts. First, speed of delivery. That means three things. I'm just summarizing to go along. First, order should be placed in such a manner as to ensure the most efficient use of each particular facility from the point of view of the whole program. B, the proper consideration be given to contributory industries, such as machine tool industry, to avoid creating bottlenecks. And C, that once delivery dates are fixed, assurance be given that they'll be met by the supplier. And number two, the proper quality, not quantity alone, but quality, is of prime importance. Now, sir, determine first whether the supplier can meet the quality requirements as specified. There should be a willingness on the part of both the Army and Navy on the one hand and the supplier on the other to adjust the specifications on a cooperative basis in order that such specifications may come as near as possible to meeting commercial standards while at the same time fulfilling military requirements. Third, price, while not the sole consideration, is of outstanding significance and every effort must be made to secure a fair price. That takes recognition of the determination of the proper cost factors. Fourth, the impact of the defense program on the consumers of the country. That relates to A, due regard necessity of protecting civilian needs and morale. B, proper health and housing conditions among the employees. C, consideration of possible off-season production. So to dovetail military program into the production of civilian requirements, I think probably the easiest illustration on that is the garment industry. And as you know, the garment industry in the country has roughly two slack periods in the course of each year. And in making garments for the Army or the Navy, we're trying to dovetail the orders in so that they can be in part, at least, filled in those slack seasons of the normal garment industry. That means less dislocation of the industry than if we tried to put up completely new plants for it. Fifth, adequate consideration must be given to labor. That means compliance with the principles of the statement of August 31st. Sixth, undue geographic concentration of orders should be avoided. In other words, that should give us a geographic spread. Such decentralizations relate to factors of military strategy as well as avoiding congestion that will slow down production. Seven, the financial responsibility of the supplier to be examined. Ability to post a bond doesn't necessarily dispose of the problem. The problem should exist the supplier be able to continue in business long enough to complete the contract. Ability to finance himself through private sources should take preference over the necessity of government aid. Eighth, the avoidance of congestion of transportation facilities. Ninth, due consideration to the adequacy of power facilities. Tenth, general preference to firms having experience with so-called educational orders, which, as you know, we've been letting for about a year and a half. 11, the moral responsibility of the supplier is important and in some respects fundamental. Evidence of honest and sincere desire to cooperate with the Army and Navy in producing what's called for on time without profiteering. To assume some risks himself rather than attempting to shift all the risks to the government. Bench correct statements to capacity and experience. Supplier's general standing and reputation among reputable businessmen is distinct from his financial rating. Is one index of such qualifications. 12, commission recognizes competitive bidding is the better procedure in certain types of industry and circumstances. And you can't get it, have to do something else. Recommends the use of a negotiated contract when necessary in order that the objectives be obtained in making purchases. Then that is based on the labor policy that was they passed the previous resolution on, which is very important. They've had that, haven't they, Steve? You've had that, but it's very well worth reading again because it carries certain desired objectives relating to all that we are worth that is worth carrying again. You'll refer to it because it's part of the whole scheme. And that's being sent to Congress today. So to keep Congress in touch with what's going on.
Further, is that point one in there general enough to take care of priorities?
Yeah. Yeah.
That is one of the reasons for the point one of priorities. Now on your other, as to the licenses.
Yeah.
That's part of the Department of Justice plan on keeping patents in this country. Not have international cartels?
It patents, designs, formulas, and so forth and so on.
I mean, the interchange of patents and foreign patents, that'll stop that.
But that's only an incidental one thing. Yeah.
Mr. President, it reminds me to ask you, are you aware of any action that you might take with regard to scrap steel or iron in some of these licensing policies?
No, there's been scrap steel and iron. There's been a great deal of many suggestions by people who don't know the whole story about starting a pickup campaign for tin cans, old scrap iron. And we would undoubtedly from that get a good deal if it were needed. But the cost of such a local campaign is very high. And the question of transportation is involved, and the experts tell me it's not yet necessary.
I think particularly of some possible action of yours with regard to...
On the export. That's a different thing. I'm not ready on it yet. Not yet. It hasn't come to me yet.
President, if I could get a proclamation, is there anything in that which could be construed to limit or restrict the international circulation of technical magazines and other publications, which from time to time has had that carry certain kinds of aircraft engines and designs, and in fact, published some of them that we never knew about before?
I never thought of it. Better ask somebody. I don't know.
Who would you recommend?
I'd ask Newton and the Tunage. No, sir. They probably know a lot more about it than I do.
Mr. President, there are some reports that the success of the anti-aircraft garage in London is due to the use of American range finders and guns. Have we released our detector?
No.
We have not.
Mr.
President,
do
you have any comments to make on the conference on Monday on the 21st of Waterloo?
I think the only thing can be said on that St. Lawrence is this, on this question of defense needs, the immediate thing seems to be to look forward to the need for additional power as entirely distinct from navigation. And we are talking now with the Canadians among ourselves about the possibility of the development of more power. Now that leaves out entirely the question of navigation. In other words, the power factor looks as if it might be serious in the course of the next 2 or 3 years. And to develop power takes 2 or 3 years.
Mr. President, you're trying to come to the Senate soon. The convention adopted with Obama in July.
I don't know.
Yes,
sir. Steve thinks it's ready, but you'd better check.
Mr. President, you plan on St. Lawrence and the United Congress?
That I don't know. I mean, we haven't got to that stage yet. Certainly, everybody would be kept in touch with him.
It won't be immediate.
No. Hold on.
Mr. President, I wouldn't press you to the government navigation
in future time. No. That's not the immediate problem before us.
Have you had a weekend plan, sir, that you want to announce?
Well, I thought I'd go down the river, give you all a holiday tomorrow afternoon late, and come back Sunday afternoon. Depends a little bit. I'm going up to the 200th anniversary of University of Pennsylvania, and whether I do anything else up there depends largely on Congress. But I'm told by the press that they might adjourn the end of next week.
Well, sir, there's anticipated
a recess. Now, don't get it wrong. Adjourn or recess. Just again. Doesn't make any difference what my judgment, whether recess or adjourn, because obviously if anything is needed in the way of legislation, they'd come right back. Whenever it is needed.
Have you anything to say about the cornerstone laying at the Washington Airport?
I think that's on for
2 days.
No. Yeah.
Huh?
I'd like, you know, to out there to tell the history of the legislation and the building of the port without legislation. But I'm going to leave that to the local paper.
Mr. Frank.
Well, Burton Coolidge started it, didn't he?
I wasn't around when he started. I don't know so much as when he gets through that thing. There are about 4,000 or 5,000 relief workers from Washington that have got to find better jobs and just start something else.
Let's scratch the old team and give me a suggestion.
Mr. Commissioner Young and I are doing that.
That's all right. That's fine.
Mr. President, are you considering making our force available to the British office if necessary?
Oh, my God, I don't know what you mean. I'm so out of the bubble lip question.
Double
lip.
Mr. President, can you tell us anything about what the items that we need in the time to fix the bill?
It's in the budget at the present time, but the great bulk of it will undoubtedly be repair and maintenance and housing and food of the National Guard and the Selective Service people. I can't give you any figures, but that will be the great bulk of the bill.
Thank you. probably one of Kelly's, one of Kelly's friends sent him a letter showing where they're listing manufacturers in Chicago on the basis that for 5,000 folks to change in the box,
yeah,
that they can beat.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And one comes to you. So it's like that. From its first all up in the world.
Right. Tell me, do you think California will sort of come together?
Well, I think that you'll do better than you did last time. I think you'll go between 400,000 to 600,000. The very significant thing is since the Philadelphia Convention, the Democratic registration has increased and the Republican has decreased.
And Keith Pittman told me yesterday the same thing's happening in the Bible.
Sure.
It is.
He's a little prejudiced.
Well, I haven't heard anything of the Northwest at all.
I'm going to go to Idaho.